Actually, we were talking about Brian Johnson. Okay, so I watched actually a video with him talking to Tom Bilyeu, and he said that he had like outsourced all his decisions to his team, which was based on data. So he says, it's like, I don't make any decisions about myself anymore, although apparently he does about food, right? Because as you discussed, right? But everything else is entirely data driven, is what he says. And like this is the most optimal. Does that sound like workable to you?
So the issue here is that Brian Johnson has the capacity to have a team, right? Because he has a certain level of financial and time freedom as well. Because most ordinary people don't have the financial resources to have a team behind their longevity schedule, and they also don't have the time capacity to basically evaluate many things themselves. So Brian Johnson is actually like he wants to bring longevity to the masses, but at the same time, he's an outlier when it comes to a typical profile of person that will be implementing all of these changes, right? So I think that evidence-based decisions are definitely the way to go when it comes to your health decisions and it also has to do with your own background, right? So, someone who, let's say, has some sort of research experience will be able to evaluate a scientific paper better than someone that has not. So, there are different factors here at play. And I think that what the broader audience should be focusing on instead is to make sure that they're not doing things they don't understand why, because I've seen comments online of people saying things like, oh, you know what, I'm taking this supplement and I actually and this third one I don't even know why I'm taking it, I just heard about it online, right? So they're trying to do their best, obviously, but if we want to simplify a longevity routine that will be making the most impact, is I'd say that it's important to focus on things that are already proven. So exercise, for example, is one of those things, right? And this is actually tied up to our biorhythms and things like that, because there are so many external stressors that we have in our life that are actually disturbing some basic functions when it comes to how our body operates. And I think that the call to action here is to make sure that you understand what you're doing, even if you're doing it by yourself, even if you don't have a team behind you.
So I was going to ask you about your routine, but I think we've covered everything. We talked about diet, we talked about exercise, or supplements. Are there any specific supplements that you take?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to clarify which supplements I'm taking and also which supplements I'm not taking. Coming from an autophagy lab, as we already discussed, I think I'd like to address the elephant in the room, because there is so much discussion going on around rapamycin right now, which is an autophagy booster, that I think that this is definitely interesting to discuss. So my PhD supervisor, Dr. Sovan Sarkar, was actually the one that discovered the mTOR independent autophagy pathways during his PhD at Cambridge in the 2000s. So we realized that besides chemically intervening with mTOR function, we can actually activate autophagy in an mTOR independent manner, right? Through AMPK, through different kind of through calpain. So there is a bunch of actually mTOR independent pathways that activate autophagy, because that's the reason why people take rapamycin in the first place, right? So mTOR is a negative regulator of autophagy, meaning that if you suppress mTOR, then autophagy becomes activated, because again, it's this balance between catabolism and anabolism in the cell, right? So mTOR is sensing nutrients basically, and it modifies autophagy accordingly. So the thing here is that I can see that there is a big interest in rapamycin, including some experts in the field recommending rapamycin for the broader audience. I think that this has been taken a bit too far right now. And the reason for that is that we do have a human clinical study in cancer patients because rapamycin is actually an immunosuppressant, right? So this is the primary indication of rapamycin that shows that after supplementing with rapamycin and, you know, suppressing the mTOR activity, after a few days of a washout, the mTOR activity will bounce back and it will go above the baseline when it comes to mTOR. So with that, the question here is that what else mTOR is doing in the cell, right? Because mTOR is also responsible for growth and translation. So this is a molecule that you don't really want to mess with that much, because especially if you have activity that is bouncing back after taking rapamycin, and we also already have established that there are other autophagy activators that are mTOR independent. For me, it doesn't make sense to take rapamycin as an autophagy activating drug, right? And there is spermidine, for example, which is mTOR independent autophagy activation and is being sold as a supplement. There are others. So for example, there is trehalose. So trehalose is a natural disaccharide and you can actually put it in your coffee and it will activate your autophagy, right? And this is also freely available from Amazon and whatnot. So I think that this was a very important point for me to clarify, because I have so many people asking me about rapamycin specifically because of my autophagy background. When it comes to my personal routine, so I have some supplements that I'm taking on a regular basis. So obviously the day starts with NMN and TMG and a teaspoon of olive oil. I also have my pre-workout amino acid blend, which is alanine, citrulline, taurine, and so on. And then I also take my favorite multivitamin that is natural, and it's actually desiccated beef liver capsules. So the reason why I'm taking it is because it's so rich in all the nutrients that I need that I don't need to take a synthetic multivitamin if I can get desiccated beef liver. I previously mentioned that I'm a carnivore and this is my preferred diet. However, I don't like eating organs, right? I don't like the texture, and I think that many people can relate to that. However, there is a solution to this, and it's desiccated beef liver in pills, basically, that you can, again, freely available, multiple brands. I'm not affiliated with a particular brand, but I'm sure that there are a lot of good brands that can provide that. So this is how the day starts. And then I usually work a couple of hours and then I'm going to my workout session around 10. After that, I take a cold shower as well, which is nice. And interestingly, you know, the amino acid blend that I'm taking in the morning, the taurine and the arginine and the citrulline, they can actually activate nitric oxide production, which is a similar effect as with a cold shower, right? So this is cool. So I'm not taking the cold shower before my workout. I take it after, but in the morning I have a similar kind of function going on with the nitric oxide activation because of the amino acid blend that I'm taking. And then, you know, the usual suspects after breakfast, I would take, you know, vitamin D and vitamin K2, some omega-3 fatty acids from a reputable brand. And it's very important to not take oxidized omega-3 fatty acids, because then they're actually not good for you. So just a note for the audience to kind of vet the companies that they're buying supplements from. Electrolytes, of course, magnesium as well. There is a supplement called bio-optimized magnesium. I believe you are aware of it. It's a nice blend of different kinds of magnesium. I actually like that. Again, not affiliated with the company. It's just my personal preference. And then what I'm doing, what I found myself doing over the past couple of years. So I started cycling different kind of supplements. So for example, I would cycle melatonin for the anti-aging benefits, because melatonin is actually the most potent antioxidant that we can get that crosses the blood-brain barrier, right? So this is really cool. This is very beneficial for our brain. And I've been cycling melatonin a couple of times a year, maybe for a month at a low dose, maybe like 1 to 2 mg per night. And then I found myself thinking that it would also be beneficial to cycle some supplements for specific indications. So now what I'm doing is I'm cycling a few supplements that are beneficial for my skin, for example, right? So biotin and pycnogenol, things like that. So I would cycle them 3-4 times a year. So I wouldn't be taking them permanently. And then I would cycle the bone health beneficial supplements such as MSN, MSM, and others freely available. So in total, I'm trying to have a routine where I'm monitoring my performance with simple biometrics or blood tests. I'm not doing as many blood tests as I would like, because I don't have time and I have a company to run. But I'm still trying to have this approach where I'm monitoring my performance and, you know, heart rate variability. There are wonderful apps and wonderful trackers that are freely available for everyone to kind of see what's going on with athletic performance, heart rate variability, sleep, things like that. And then, of course, I have my evening stack, which would be, you know, glycine with NAC, which is a very beneficial combination for longevity, but also for multiple cellular functions. Magnesium in the evening, I take magnesium threonate as well. Of course, the berberine with milk thistle from NMN Bio, because this plays on the you know, one of the hallmarks of aging is called nutrient sensing ability of the cell, right? So this is tied up to insulin resistance. So after my last meal of the day, in order to kind of kick myself into autophagy faster, I would take the berberine and the with the milk thistle, because this form is actually much more bioavailable than other berberine products on the market, because when you're taking berberine by itself, it's only absorbed by about 3% by the human gut. But when you're taking it with milk thistle, the absorption jumps up to 90%. So it's a huge result. And this is why berberine, besides NMN, is one of our best sellers, because people stop having sugar cravings within like 10 days, right? So it's very efficient supplement. And of course, I'm taking a few supplements throughout the day for neurotransmission support and brain support. And depending on when you're watching this video, we might have already launched our new product, which is called the NAD Brain, which we hope to launch by the end of this month, which is basically a combination of neurotransmission support in the brain, but it also have short-term benefits when it comes to focused memory and concentration, and also when it comes to long-term benefits, slowing down the aging process in the brain with multiple compounds from our proprietary formula that we've been working on for over a year now. So this is the overview of my supplement routine. I'm probably cycling more of those during the year. So for example, kelp that gives you microiodine for thyroid support, right, is also very important. And again, when we're talking about mass adoption of longevity and of supplementation, I actually realized something very funny the other day. So I was at a social event that had nothing to do with longevity, just business networking and whatnot. And I'm meeting this person that asked me what I do. I said that I'm in the anti-aging supplement space. So this person knew about Brian Johnson and his blueprint routine and all the supplements that he's taking. So this person ended up telling me, oh, I'm taking all the supplements that Brian Johnson has taken. And I said, okay, well, that's cool. I'm only taking 27 supplements a day. And then I realized this is how mass adoption looks like when you're meeting someone at an event and you actually need to tell them, I'm only taking 27 supplements a day, because this person is taking so many more, like 100, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing there. And also another supplement that I don't take that I wanted to comment on is calcium alpha ketoglutarate, because there are indications that it can actually block ATP synthase and therefore give you decreased energy levels. Now, I'm not saying that it's not going to provide you with more longevity and it will not slow down your aging process, but we still don't understand how it works, like what is the mechanism of action. We don't have enough data on the supplement. So I just wanted to clarify that I'm actually not taking that because I don't see conclusive evidence. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, it's a very popular longevity supplement at the moment, and I have people asking me about it. So I thought that this would be good to address as well.
Interesting. We don't have time to dive into it right now, but I mean, I thought alpha-ketoglutarate was like a key component of the Krebs cycle. And so it seems like it should fit in properly.
Yeah, but there is an interesting function that, like, we still don't know what exactly is happening when we take it orally and what would be the indications and the counterindications. And maybe indeed we can record another episode sometime about it.
Right. Yeah, it could get well into the weeds if we start talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that one more thing that we didn't cover is sleep. And I think this is the last important component of my personal routine. So I'm a morning person. So I like waking up early. And actually, back in like a few years ago, I would tell everyone I meet that it's so beneficial to wake up in the morning at every cost, basically. But interestingly, there is a genetic background in it. So genetically, some people are predisposed to be morning types, and some other people would be genetically predisposed to be night owls, right? And there is an amazing book on the subject. It's called Why We Sleep, that I would highly recommend to the audience here, that basically describes the genetics behind it and where is it coming from. Because back in the days when people were living in small villages, some people would need to stay up to protect the village, and then the rest of the village would sleep. So actually right now in our genetic pool, 70% of people are morning types, and there is a small percentage of the night owls, and then there are a couple of different phenotypes in between as well. Some people need an afternoon nap and some don't, and so on. So for me personally, I function my best when I go to sleep early between 9 and 10 p.m. and then I wake up early between 5 and 6 a.m. And this is my quiet hours as well, right? Because people are not up yet. No one's emailing me. No one's calling me. So I can do some deep work as well, which I'm enjoying. And then I think that this is what I meant when I also mentioned that it's very important for yourself to actually realize when do you perform your best. Because I recently had the experience of working out in the evening, which I haven't done for years, and I felt terrible because my body was completely shocked that my biorhythms and my circadian rhythms were disrupted with some very intense activity in the evening, because this never happens, because I always work out in the morning. So that's the thing there. And I think that getting a good quality sleep is, again, like undeniable evidence for it when it comes to longevity and for preserving your brain health and your overall health as well, right? And here, I actually recently found an amazing biohack, which is completely free for everyone to implement. And I swear by it. So it's a frequency that you can actually listen to in the morning when you wake up. And why is this important is because for me, I'm naturally a light sleeper. So my biometrics tell me that I only get between 1 and 2 hours of deep sleep per night. So some people log in 4 hours of deep sleep, but I can't. And it's always been this way. And I wake up and I just plug in this frequency to my headphones, which is the 40 hertz frequency, 4-0, and how do I know, like, what does it do and whether it's working? Is because there is an MIT human clinical study in Alzheimer's patients showing that if you actually listen to this frequency for at least 40 minutes or more during the day, it will actually decrease the dementia phenotype in those patients. So the data is very robust, and this is very exciting because, as I said, this is a free intervention, right? So you can find the 40 hertz frequency on YouTube, on Spotify. It doesn't cost you anything. So you just plug it in. And what happens is that your brain cells are being tricked into thinking that you are in deep sleep when you're listening to this frequency. So what happens when we are in deep sleep, the brain and the gray matter is basically clearing itself up. So the microglia, which are the supporting cells of our neurons that are clearing the space between the neurons in our brain, are actually thinking, okay, it looks like we're currently in deep sleep, so we better go and do our job that we're doing when we are in deep sleep. So they start doing this wavy movement and clearing up the space between the neurons. And then this is probably why those Alzheimer's patients, those dementia patients, have reduced symptoms, right? So whether how tightly this is related to the accumulation of A beta plaques and tau proteins floating around is still to be evaluated. But I think that there should be a connection there, that basically this frequencies, listening to those, can help your brain operate at its best. I would also be very curious to evaluate whether this boosts autophagy in the brain, which is which could be a whole other human clinical study by itself. But this is something that I'm implementing on a daily basis. And, you know, I just plug it in. And sometimes I even forget that it's there because it's just, it sounds like a background noise, right? So you just do whatever you need to do. So I'm doing my emails and I'm doing some deep work while I'm listening to it. I'm walking around. I don't need to sit still. I'm having my coffee and I'm just listening to this frequency. And then the results of my brain performance are actually remarkable. My brain is never tired anymore, no matter how I slept. And this is completely mind-blowing to me because, again, it's a free hack, right? You don't have to pay for it. And it's so powerful and so efficient. So I would definitely recommend it to everyone that's listening to us.
Interesting. If you can send me the link to the paper.
Absolutely. I'll send you a lot of links after this interview, seems like.
Yes, please. Yeah, that would be excellent. Actually, that sounds really interesting because my deep sleep is not good either. I track it with Aura Ring. And I mean, I'm seeing how much deep sleep I'm getting and it's not.
How much are you getting usually?
It normally gives me a red line for it. So it's like less than an hour.
Right. Yeah. And it also decreases with age, right? Because our production of melatonin is decreasing with age. So for myself, I'm still not taking it on a regular basis, but for someone over 40 or 50, depending on how much deep sleep they're getting, I would actually recommend supplementing with low dose melatonin on a regular basis, because I think it could be beneficial.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
Won't get into melatonin because there's differing opinions on melatonin, but yeah, we'd be here all day if we, so we'll leave it there.
I think we covered everything.
I think we did. Yeah, no, that was great. And thank you for spending your time with us. So so thank you so much. Can you just tell us where can people find more information or find out where, you know, if you're doing new trials, where would that be published?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is nmnbio.co.uk. So anything that we do that is related to any research that is ongoing. And at the moment, when it comes to our R&D department, we're actually a bit in a stealth mode. because we do have a couple of projects that we're currently investigating with regards to autophagy and other areas of cellular health that we can optimize for our customers. And then, of course, we do have the commercial arm of the company with the supplements that we're already selling. As I previously mentioned, we just started as an e-commerce company back in 2020, but we grew rapidly because of the quality of our products. So now we're selling through our e-commerce platforms online into 70 plus countries. And then in the Middle East, our products are in retail stores, specifically in Astir pharmacies. So this is where people can find our products. But we also have a mobile app that people can download both for iOS and Android by typing in NMN Bio. And we do have some free resources in the mobile app as well. So we have an intermittent fasting tracker in the app. We have a questionnaire that you can keep on filling in every 30 days to kind of subjectively evaluate where do you stand when it comes to some basic health parameters, you know, sleep, endurance, stress, things like that. And yeah, any updates can be found on Instagram as well, under NMN Bio, my personal Instagram account, Dr. Elena Saranova. And yeah, this is the, I think those are the main platforms that someone can find us.
Okay. Excellent. Dr. Saranova, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.